Today, corporates gouge while the IMF warns that the inflation squeeze will be on for longer than expected. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this is post covering finance and property news. Well, households will see inflation hang around for much longer than expected. And while the pressure on households continues to build, so does distrust across the economy in Australia, at least according to data from the IMF and a special Roy Morgan end of financial year webinar with Roy Morgan CEO Michelle Levine and Nine Network finance editor Chris Kohler. In fact, a survey showed that distrust of any organisation or industry has skyrocketed in Australia since the pandemic began, when there was more trust than distrust. Though trust levels are now nearly comparable with those in early 2020, distrust has grown significantly over the last year. Actually, 66% of Australians distrust any organisation or sector, compared to less than 41%. Who trusts any organisation or sector. That's a net result of down 25% from down 17 points a year ago. That's an 8% drop. The overt pursuit of profit or commercial interest by businesses, along with greed, is one of the main reasons for the rise in mistrust of sectors or organisations, according to 26% of respondents. That's up from 9%. When the pandemic first started, that's a 17% increase. When questioned explicitly, 54% of Australians say they distrust corporate Australia more than they used to, while only 10% trust it more. And just over one third, actually 36% of Australians believe corporate Australia's trustworthiness remained unchanged. Commenting on the results, Roy Morgan CEO Michelle Levine said distrust in corporate Australia has soared in recent years, driven by anger about high corporate profits and not helped by a procession of high-profile corporate scandals. As recently as the early days of the pandemic, in the first few months of 2020, there was a higher level of trust than distrust throughout the economy. However, a perception that large companies are enjoying record profits during a cost-of-living crisis has left many Australians distinctly unimpressed with the top end of town. Record corporate profits are a sign of rising revenue and profit margins and suggest that corporate Australia is one of the key drivers of the cost of living crisis by bumping up their prices to grab a larger share of the consumer's wallet. Now, as I've discussed before, Australians are especially hit by poor energy policy, where gas prices are five times what they should be, while corporates are walking away with super profits. And household gas prices are rising by more than 10% in major cities, saddling families with steeper energy bills despite a mandated pause in electricity tariff increases and a federal government cap on wholesale gas prices along the East Coast. AGL Energy, one of the country's largest gas retailers, has notified customers in New South Wales of price increases to take effect on August the 1st, while Origin Energy and Energy Australia advised customers of price changes last month. Higher energy prices are making it more difficult for the RBA to bring inflation back to its target range. And despite the better-than-expected US inflation figures recently, the IMF, in its quarterly update on the world economic outlook, has warned that momentum on global disinflation has slowed, largely due to ongoing elevated rates of services inflation. This persistent higher inflation will potentially force central banks to keep interest rates higher for even longer than predicted, the IMF said. Risks of persistent inflation in the services sector are tied to both wage and price setting, given that labour accounts for a high share of the costs in that sector, the IMF said. That would put overall growth at risk, with increased upward pressure on the dollar and harmful spillovers to emerging and developing economies. This focus on services inflation is particularly warranted, though it's worth noting that recent high oil and shipping costs may also flow on into higher inflation later. For example, the latest data today from the UK showed that the Consumer Prices Index unexpectedly stayed at 2% in June. That's higher than economists had predicted, and that caused a pairing of bets on when the Bank of England would cut rates at its next meeting. Actually, the news sent the pound above $1.30 for the first time in a year. Services inflation, that has been a special focus of the Bank of England, was also unchanged at 5.7%. Economists had expected the headline rate to drop to 1.9%, while the central bank had forecast services at 5.1% by now. Traders pushed back bets of a rate cut next month, pricing in a roughly 30% chance of a move on August the 1st, down from almost 50% just yesterday. In fact, UK CPI rose by 2% in the 12 months to June 2024. That's the same rate as the 12 months to May 2024. On a monthly basis, CPI rose by 0.1% in June. That's the same rate as June 2023. But whilst that may sound promising, given the Bank of England has a 2% target for inflation, the story so far is much more complex. The largest upward contribution to the monthly change in both the CPI and the CPIH, which includes the housing element, annual rates, came from restaurants and hotels, where prices of hotels rose by more than a year ago by 6.3%, and that was up from 5.8% in May. The increase in the annual rate was almost entirely down to hotel room prices, which saw a monthly rise of 8.8%, the ONS said. A tight labour market and an almost 10% increase in the minimum wage are forcing companies in the UK to pay more to attract staff. Companies, especially in the restaurant and pub businesses, have been able to pass on higher prices to their customers. The largest downward contribution came from clothing and footwear, where prices of garments fell, having risen a year ago. So there were a series of ups and downs offsetting each other. And the confidence of remaining at 2% seems low, especially given those sticky services inflation numbers. The average price of petrol fell by 3 pence per litre between May and June 24 to 145.8 pence per litre, up from 143 pence per litre in June 2023. And diesel prices fell by 4.8 pence per litre in June 2024 to stand at 151.5 pence per litre, up from 145.7 pence per litre in June 2023. Those movements resulted in overall motor fuel prices rising by 2.6% in the year to June 2024, compared with a rise of 2.3% in the year to May. But of course, oil prices are now rising again on the wholesale markets. Prices of food and non-alcoholic beverages rose by just 1.5% in the year to June 2024. That's down from 1.7% in the year to May. And the June figure is the lowest annual rate since October 2021, when it was 1.3%. And that compares to a 17.4% rise a year ago. The annual rate has eased for the 15th consecutive month, from a recent high of 19.2% in March 2023. That was the highest annual rate seen for over 45 years. But of course, prices are not falling, they're just not rising quite as high. So people are still under the gun. And as a result, the Consumer Prices Index, including owner-occupied housing costs, the so-called CPIH, rose by 2.8% in the 12 months to June. That's the same rate as the 12 months to May. And on a monthly basis, CPIH rose by 0.2% in June, the same rate as June 2023. The core CPIH, that excludes energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, rose by 4.2% in the 12 months to June 24. That's the same rate as May. And the CPIH goods annual rate fell from negative 1.3% to negative 1.4%, while the CPIH services annual rate rose from 5.9% to 6%. And the core CPI, which excludes energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, rose by 3.5% in the 12 months to June 2024. That's the same rate as May. And the CPI goods annual rate fell from negative 1.3% to negative 1.4%, while the CPI services annual rate remained at 5.7%. Now, coming down to Australia, the June quarterly consumer price index, coming out on July the 31st, will of course be decisive in determining whether the Reserve Bank of Australia will be forced to deliver a 14th interest rate rise at its August 6th board meeting. With underlying inflation running above 4%, Markets are pricing in just a 16% chance the RBA will raise the cash rate to 4.6% from 4.35% when it next meets, but no talk of a fall. That said, bets on another rate rise from the RBA did ease over the past week as bond markets rallied on the back of an outright decline in the US consumer price index, although I think the read across from the US to Australia by the markets is overdone. In Australia, services inflation was 4.8% in the year to May 31, well above the RBA's 2 to 3% target. That's according to the latest from the ABS. Rapidly rising rents, airline fares, and health costs, plus insurance premiums, were among the major drivers of services inflation in Australia, according to AMP Deputy Chief Economist Diana Musana. An increase in the cost of vehicle repairs and haircuts also kept services inflation elevated. Now, Jim Chalmers said that the IMF update was a clear reminder that inflation is lingering all across the globe and the last mile in the fight against inflation can be a bit harder. Of course, some of the recent policies from the Treasurer will be stoking inflation, like the tax cuts and other measures. The IMF says that despite the upside risk to the global inflation outlook, inflation is still expected to return to central bank targets by the end of 2025 as unemployment inches higher and energy prices decline. But of course, if Trump gets in the US and puts up trade barriers, well, that could lift inflation quite significantly, and there are still questions of conflict in the Middle East, so that trajectory is by no means certain. Monetary policy rates of central banks are still expected to decline in the second half of 2024, with divergences at the pace of normalization reflecting varied inflation circumstances, the IMF said. And I read that as saying that some places like Australia will be lagging any potential rate cuts because inflation is still bubbling away quite severely. And by the way, they also warned that Western governments, including Australia, who are implementing expensive green technology subsidies, industrial policies, would ultimately make countries poorer. Our imperfect trading system could be improved, but this surge in unilateral measures isn't likely to deliver lasting and shared global prosperity, the IMF said. If anything, it will distort trade and resource allocation, spur retaliation, weaken growth, diminish living standards, and make it harder to coordinate policies that address global challenges such as the climate transition. Now, the IMF is not the only body to express concerns over industrial policy, especially in Australia. The Productivity Commission boss Danielle Wood warned back in April that the Future Made in Australia plan risked creating a class of inefficient businesses forever reliant on government handouts. Oh, and the IMF also warned of the potential for significant swings in economic policy as a result of the sway of national elections that have taken place across the globe this year. These potential shifts entail fiscal profligacy risks that will worsen debt dynamics, adversely affecting long-term yields and ratcheting up protectionism, it said. And you only have to look at the US, where the debt burden is continuing to rise as more treasuries are issued, and the costs of servicing the debt in the US is now higher than the costs of defense. So things are far from settling down on the inflation front. But swinging back to the first part of this show, the concept of corporates still slugging consumers is one we should take really seriously. Wherever you look, gouging is underway. And this means that the poor old consumer is right at the end of the chain, paying through the nose, while policies of governments and policies of corporates are not necessarily pointing in the right way. At the end of the day, of course, governments are more worried about not upsetting corporates than protecting consumers. And that's a fundamental shift that we need. I think we need to shift away from thinking that governments and corporates should be on the same side of the fence. Governments should be much more about making sure that society and households and small businesses are actually feeling the benefit, not the thump over the head of a 4x2, thanks to poor policy. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.